Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
All right, so the Medrash we'll cover tonight is based on the beginning of the Parsha. It's the Medrash you're all familiar with, maybe not inside, but the idea. First pasuk of the Parsha begins, Ve'ele Shemos B'nei Yisrael. These are the names of the Jewish people as they went down, as literally the tribes, the sons of Yaakov. And the Torah lists each one of them by name. And Rashi already quotes that they are named. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I just texted him to let us know if he thinks he'd be referencing.
Okay, very nice. I would not have given away his bowl of chon had I known that you were going to come right in. That's it. Okay, so the parsha begins, Ve'ele Shmos B'nei Yisrael, with the names of the sons of Yaakov. And the Medrash says, Shkulim Hein Yisrael Kneged Tzvo HaShamayim. The people of Yisrael, the children of Yaakov, are really equal in weight to the heavenly sphere, to the Kokovim, to the stars. The Medrash says, Nemer Kan Shmos, Ela Shmos B'nei Yisrael. These are their names. And there's another pasuk that we say every day that references the Shmos. That's in Psuke de Zimra, we say, Mona Mispala Kochavim, you count the numbers of the stars. Luchulam Shemos Ikara, you put names to each one of the stars. So in the same way as the stars are counted and they're given names, so here the Bnei Yaakov are also counted, but they're not just counted and we're told there are 12 of them. 12 of them were actually given names as well. And the Medrash connects the names given to the stars to the names given to the sons of Yaakov. So when the Klal Yisrael came down to Mitzrayim, Shem wanted to count their numbers to know how many there were, because the Meshulim Lekochavim, since they are comparable, analogous to stars. That's the Rashi quotes in short. That's what we're familiar with, that there's a comparison between the concept of stars and the counting of stars to the counting of the Jewish people, and then specifically to the giving of names of stars, to the giving of names of the sons of Yaakov. Now when we count things, there are two types of ways that we count, the Rosh Hashiva used to say. Sometimes we count, let's say, you count money. So, take a simple example of you run an event. You go to a carnival that the sixth grade girls put on into our day school, and they have all of this cash afterwards, and they're counting it. So what's the purpose of their counting as they go through all of that? So they need a total. They need to know how much money did we bring in. They don't really care if it was in fives, or if they're singles, or if it was an $18 check. The way they get to their conclusion is irrelevant. The only reason why they're counting is to know the sum total. Once they have the sum total, you never go back and say, well, how many fives were there? Who cares? Maybe you'll need to organize it, but that's just for organizational purposes if you want to go to the bank. But once you have your sum total, the only purpose of the count is to get to your total. Once you have your total, you're done. And even as we get older and we get beyond the sixth grade carnival, we really do the same thing also. It becomes much less significant exactly what they are, and more significant whether or not it's in stocks, or whether or not it's in cash, or whether or not it's in real estate. Then it becomes different, and we'll see how we transfer. But when you talk about your cash portfolio, again, it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter to me within my cash portfolio what denominations I have in my wallet, or it's all the same. If you're a diamond dealer and you have a suitcase full of diamonds, so then it's not the story. You don't count that way, because the value of each diamond is completely unique and separate from the diamond. Each one has to be evaluated, each one has to be measured, each one has to be weighed, each one has to be given a grade, and then you determine the value based on each individual one. And then after you have your sum total, you would not then just say, well, I have, $300,000 of diamonds. And that doesn't mean anything. I need to know exactly how did I get there. How many different diamonds do I have to have gotten to my $300,000 total? What's the quality of each one? What can I do with each one? How does that work? The nature of the counting is not a counting just to know sum total, but each individual component becomes much more significant. Which is when we talk about even in money, if you go out of just your cash portfolio, you go into real estate and cash and invest, well now it becomes, each individual one becomes much more significant in order to get your sum total. It's not just when you have cash, we're there. It doesn't really matter very much. And this is the dual bracha that Avram gets. Avram receives the bracha that your children will be k'kvei chvei ha'shamayim, they'll be like the stars in heaven, and they'll be, what's the second half of the bracha after the stars in heaven?
Sand.
Like the sand of the sea, like Kol Hayam. Those are two very different types of brachas of numbers. They're both numerous. They'll be as numerous as the... Don't even look. If you're going to walk in here at 9, cookie you can have, but the... We specifically give two brachas. They're both brachas of numerous. They'll be as numerous as the stars in heaven and as numerous as the sand of the sea. But those are very different brachas. When you talk about being as numerous as the stars, so each star is unique. Every star is a world unto itself. As our Medrash opens up with, you would give each star a name. Why would you give a star a name? Well, it makes sense to give a star a name. You have to identify it, because it's such an enormous body. It might seem small to us here, but it's an enormous body. It's a world unto itself. It's unique. It gets its own name and identification. So when Hashem gives Avram the bracha that your children will be like the stars, we're specifically pointing out they're going to be unique like a star. And he gets a bracha that they'll be like sand. Now, if you had a cup of sand or even a bag of sand or sand on the sea floor, you would never name a grain of sand. It's ludicrous to think about naming each grain. Why would you name each grain of sand? What's the only value in sand?
Sum total.
It's only in the sum total. There is absolutely no value in a single grain of sand or even in 1,000 grains of sand. That's nothing. When you put together hundreds of millions of grains of sand together, now you have a sandbag. You could do something with it. You have an actual the sand of the sea that's on the beachfront. So the blessing of sand, you never would name a grain of sand the way you would name a star, because it doesn't have any value on an individual level. It has a value only in numbers. Which is why the Chazal say, like, when you're fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem, then you'll be compared to the stars. When you're not fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem, then you'll still have a bracha, but the bracha is going to be like the sand of the sea. It'll be numerous, but you're not going to have that individual quality where each one is unique. So the question then becomes, as Klal Yisrael is named in this week's parsha, this is a special time, what's the emotion that we have as you're given a name, as you're going down to Mitzrayim? So Rashi quotes, it's a chiba. It's an element of love. When Hashem counts us, as He does on our way down, Eilah Shmos B'nei Yisrael, and He gives each one their name, it's Reuven, and it's Shimon, and it's Levi, we're fulfilling, it's the example, it's an expression of the star bracha. You are like a star. Just like I give names to the stars, I give names to you, each individual. On the way down to Mitzrayim, why should it be, specifically now, on the way into Mitzrayim, on the way into Golus, that the name is given, a name which represents chiba, which represents love, which represents the closest, represents the individuality of each member, that says you're like a star, you'll each get your own name. Why should it be now on the way down to Golus that we specifically get that?
You need that faith to get through.
So is it faith? Where do you...
I mean, there's clearly some love that's involved in the, you know, in the naming.
You're saying, in other words, the faith that I get when I see the expression of love from Hashem,
yeah.
Hashem counts me, so then that helps me in my relationship to be able to get through it.
But, you know Hashem is there.
Okay. I mean, they did. I mean, they were literally going down into Mitzrayim, and they had the Nevuah from Avram, that 400 years will be a stranger, so I think they did have that sense. Okay. So give you that sense of the chizuk that they would need to be able to go down.
Hashem is with them from the beginning.
Okay.
Wait, I'm confused. Don't they? There he had names. There is a name.
Right. So that's exactly the point where Chazal see that he goes back and counts them again. Rashi says in the Rashi in the first pasuk says Alpha Pishimon on the Chayei and Bishmos, even though they were counted by their names in the end of Sefer Bereishis when they were still alive. Now we're talking already years later. They've all died, and the Sefer Shmos begins again by counting their names. So Rashi says, "Chazar umanon b'misas." And now they're counted again after they've died. Lahodiachi b'asan, to let them know how beloved they are to Hashem, that they're compared to stars and given names.
So that the people who are living.
In other words, it's to let us know how much Hashem loved them, that He counted the tribes, the sons of Yaakov, again on the way into Mitzrayim, even though they were just counted again at the end of Sefer Bereishis, to let us know how much love there is. Because when you count somebody by name, you know what I'm saying, you know, these are the, you know, how many kids are in your classroom, how many kids are in your family? Well, they're just, you know, they're three. No, it's different than saying that. It's Reuven, and I have Shimon, and I have Levi. It's individual. It's personal. It's to show that the law. It's not just I have a group of 26 students. No, the Rebbe says I have this one and I have that one. Each one is different. Each one is unique. So to let us know. So Dani is suggesting that it's to give us the chizuk as we go into Galus, which is a fine answer. What do you think, Benjamin?
Yeah.
No, you don't like it?
No.
Sorry, Dani.
No, it's very different. Like between being started and between being stand, being stand said we're only something you ask all together, that like there's a power in unity, yet if we're not unified, there's no.
Yeah, I think that's right.
When we come out of Egypt, it's just numbers, it's not names anymore.
That's also we are tribes and we're counted as more numbers. In other words, even right in the beginning of the Sefer, once their original names are given, then it goes very impersonal. There was a son, there was a man from the tribe of Levi who married a woman from the tribe of Levi. The Shifra and Pu are not even named by their real names, Yocheved and Miriam. Everyone is sort of just, it becomes much more, we become an Am of people rather than the specific names. But that love of the name is given specifically now on the way into Galus.
You're saying last week the individual strength of each shaver could be reflected.
Yeah. Or,
yeah. Like, are there different powers when you're talking about individuals versus talking about the whole? You know, there's something specific to that strength that was needed to get through the
Galus. Right, in other words, the strength, in other words, one aspect is that we're receiving the chizuk from Hashem, and another one is that they now have what they need.
There was certain, you know, if you needed specific strength, specific
powers
to get through that
Galus. So we were being told what their names were, representing what their strengths were.
You were saying before that when Bnei Yisrael was doing, you know, doing Hashem's will,
yeah,
then they had, right, and they were counted as individual. So, to me, you know, what I'm thinking is that the message here is that you're starting from, you know, you're starting from a kind of a favorable position, so that you're already at this place where, you know, by default, you're kind of, you're doing Hashem's will, and so now it's, you know, it's kind of, it's up to you, but the point is you're starting in a favorable position.
Good. So let me share with you the account from the Sfasem, who addresses this, and it's like, why should it be now that we have this idea of the chiba, the love, and the element of the individual strength of each one, the concept of the name that says you are a world unto yourself. As Fasana says, "V'emes mataras ha-golosu," the purpose of golos. We have such a, in Klal Yisrael, there is a concept of golos, of being in exile. It's found already in the very second pasuk in all of Chumash. "V'ha'aretz ha'isaso v'avo," the world was void and confused, chaos, and Chazal see in the four worlds, the four words of Tohu and Vohu and Choshech and Tohom and darkness and the depths, a reference to the four exiles that the Jewish people will go through. Golos of Bavel and of Madai and of Rome and of Greece, of the Hanukkah story. It's all rooted in the beginning of creation. It's already like built into creation that there's going to be all of these different exiles. So what's the purpose? Why do we have to have all of these exiles? So the Sfasema says a very interesting thing. The purpose of Golos is Lahotzi Koach HaNeshamos El HaPoel, to bring out the strength and the potential of each neshama into its actual realization. Every neshama has a strength, has a potential, and the Golos, exile, brings it into its realization. Al Yidei HaGolos, through the trials and tribulations of exile, Mishtanas kochos haneshama ba'ofanim shanim, it changes the koach of the neshama, the strength of the neshama in different ways, and that's why he says the root of the word galus, is galui, is to reveal. The same shoresh of the words to be exiled is based on the word of to be revealed.
Why is that?
So says the Sfasema shemis hapecha adam al yidei hanisyonos v'hagolus. Because the reality of life that the Sfasemis is saying here is, when life is good, when things are smooth, there's no expression for the inner essence of the neshama, the who a person is. You look good, everything is fine. I'm not being challenged, I'm not being pushed, I don't have to figure things out, so things are fine. But when times get really tough, and they get really difficult, that's when you understand who you are as a person. It's like the essence of the concept of a Nisayun as a whole. The Ramban writes this, the whole purpose of the test. Why does Hashem test Avraham? Why does Hashem test us? Doesn't he know what we can do? So he says, yeah, he knows what we can do, but you're not going to do it unless your feet are up in the fire and you have to get it done. We find that it's that way in our business world, it's that way in our relationships, it's that way in everything in life. Until you have a deadline, until it has to get done, it doesn't get done. When there's a pressure, there's a forcing that I need to get this done, all of a sudden you just go, I didn't know I could do that.
Does that mean the people who live in Hanukkah, the first base of Midrash and the second base of Midrash, weren't revealing their true potential?
No, so you're now talking about it on an individual level, and I'm talking about on a Klal Yisrael level. So that's a fair question. But on a Klal level, so in other words, Klal Yisrael needs Golus as a whole. Let me finish this thought. Hold on that thought. The concept of difficulties, of whether it be a Golus, or whether or not it be any other Nisayon in life that we face, is really what brings out the essence of who we are. And in life, it's always that way. Whenever you see, you know, no family should, Rahman al-Sun, ever deal with suffering. But when you see a family that deals with a difficult time, a tragedy in our personal lives, in a family life, and you look at them 3 years later, they're different people. They're just different people. Assuming that they've come out successfully from it. Sometimes, you know, we get broken by it, but assuming a person comes out, look at them like, they have strength. You know, I never knew they had strength like that before. They didn't really have the fortitude to make it. The way they developed their personality, their ability to help, it's unbelievable. Now, you don't wish this upon anybody. We don't wish it upon ourselves. We don't ask for nisyonos, but that's the reality of it. So Hashem says that's why golus is giwa. It's the same word. An exile creates the revelation of who a person is. So Fasem is right, that's why here in the beginning of the Golus that's going to shape Klal Yisrael, the starting point is you're like a star. I need you to know as you go in, it's a little bit part of the Chizuk aspect, a little bit part of knowing the different strengths, but it's, each one of you has a name. Because you're about to go into the furnace, as Chazal referred to the exile of Egypt, which is going to shape you and mold you into the nation that you are. And it's built into creation that Klal Yisrael, as a whole, we have to go through a series of steps to reach the state as a nation that we need to be. We have to go through what's represented from the Golus of Madai at the end of the first base of Mikdash. We need to go through the Golus of what was the Purim story of Bavel. We have to go through the Hanukkah story. It's part of our genetic makeup that what we experience being through a nation of the Hanukkah story is an easy one, of being faced with the Greeks and losing people to the Misyavnim, losing Jews who said, I like this idea, look at how enlightened they are.
So, yeah.
And yet we're still able to fight that and say, no, you have beauty, we have more beauty. That becomes part of who we are, fighting that battle. Going through the goals that we're in now of Edom, of the Romans, it's part of creating who we are. And so in the beginning of that process, which was the first step of Mitzrayim, so you're named as a star. There's a Medrash. The Medrash says that when Moshe meets up with Yitro after Hashem introduces himself to him, so this is Vayelech Moshe. Moshe went back to Mitzrayim. He was in Midian, he's hanging out with his father-in-law, his two sons, and his wife, and he leaves. He says, I need to go back. So he went to take his wife and his kids back to Mitzrayim. So Amar lo Yisro's father-in-law says to him, where are you bringing them? Moshe says, I don't even remember bringing them back to Mitzrayim. He says, I don't understand. O son Shehim b'Mitzrayim mevakshim lotzeis. All the Jews in Mitzrayim, all they want to do is they want to leave. They're in servitude. They're enslaved. They're broken. They want to get out. Va'at molichon le'el. You're going to now take my two grandsons and my wife, and you're bringing them there? Everybody there wants to leave. Why would you take them there? Moshe has an amazing response, says Chazal. Amar lo Moshe, lemachar hein asidin latzeis. Because you're right, in a few days, so actually it was a year from then, they're going to leave. V'lamar al har Sinai l'shmo mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And they're going to hear, I am Hashem, your God who took you out of Mitzrayim. Ubonai lo yishmo'u kemosam. So my children shouldn't hear like everybody else? As much as I have to take them back, because they're all going to Har Sinai, they're going to hear. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoceiti Mirnai. Says the Rosh Hashiva, sounds like Moshe is saying very clearly, Yisro is saying, I have an idea. You know where they're going. So instead of taking them back to Mitzrayim, going through another year of Gehenim, why don't you just stay here and you'll meet them at Har Sinai? And Moshe says, I can't. Because in order to be able to hear, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoceiti Mirnai, you have to have gone through the Gehenim of Mitzrayim to be able to get to Har Sinai and hear the words Anochi Hashem Elokecha. There's no way around it. You must experience the Golos to be shaped and formed into the person who can receive the Torah at Har Sinai and hear those words Anochi Hashem Elokecha. You can't take that shortcut. It's part of the development of the human being. Part of the development of the soul are certain trials which are life shaping. Now, I was bringing examples as an individual, like it's true in our own lives, it's true as a nation. Yeah.
I don't know if you were, I was thinking maybe you can say during the times of the first and second place, maybe there's something only needs to be revealed if it's hidden. Maybe we can say during the first and second place, maybe there wasn't any aspect of that that was hidden at that point that needed to be revealed. That was at the time where we were, the aspect was revealed. And it waned, and that's why we need to go back and call us, because it started becoming...
It could be. The reason why I'm not sure how to answer that is because from the fact that Chazal see in the beginning of the Chumash, four exiles, two of which were after the first Beit HaMikdash was to be built, it sounds like Chazal understood, like, there's another Medrash that I've come across, where it was known there were going to be three Batei HaMikdash. That was, like, already... From the time of the Chet of Adam Arishon, it was going to be that way. There was a fixing of the Chet, and it just was required to go through that process of an exile to be able to do so. So, as a nation, there are times where we're better off, but even with it's on a national level and individual level where we are shaped and formed as a people through our experiences. So, the Sfas Emes holds, the Sfas Emes understands the reason why we have a second counting of the people as they go down to Mitzrayim. A counting of names, which is comparable to a star, to say you are each a world unto yourself, is saying you're about to enter into that furnace. You're about to be shaped and formed. Each one of you in this furnace is going to come out as the nation that's necessary to receive the Torah. And what you need to know going in is that each one of you is that star. Each one of you has that individualized potential, is that chiba, that feeling of love that I have for each one of you. I'm not putting you through this to torture you. I'm putting you through this because you're like a star, because you are a world unto yourself, because I'll give you each a name, and therefore I put you through this so that we can come out in the place that's necessary. And the Sfas Emes says that's why specifically by the Golos, which is going to reveal them, we have this aspect specifically here of that concept of a shame, of a name, which says Shom, there, that's who you are. This defines exactly the essence of who you are.
Why stars?
As opposed to some other thing that could be large and countable.
Burning gas. And there are billions of them. I mean, you're comparing 12 names, 12 Shvatim, to billions of stars. I mean, what is...
Well, that was the blessing. In other words, you're asking two... In other words, there's two
right.
parts of that.
I mean, obviously, you should be like the stars of the heaven. You know,
right,
you
that's where that comes from. That should be as numerous.
But you're being compared to a...
I think that's actually... I think it has a lot... In other words, in the same way as the Pasuk says, Hashem gives a name to each star, which is what's done. Scientists today also
right.
have names for every all the stars, despite the fact that there are billions of them. In other words, I think that's exactly the point. In other words, there are billions of grains of sand, and nobody would have given a name to them.
Is there something to the... astrological significance of stars, that stars are the energy coming into the world.
I wouldn't be surprised. You have that also. In other words, they used to read the stars. You have that aspect of the zodiac and all of those different things, the mazalos. I'm sure that's part of it. I think even just from the way you're asking your question, I think is exactly the answer. In other words, I give names even though they're billions of that, which is an oddity.
But stars are self-destructing themselves. That is a star.
All right.
What if they do that? I mean, what star is burning itself up until it's
red? But they didn't know that. I mean,
God knew that. Okay, fair enough. He kind of created.
You can pull the wool over.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I don't know. I think the, you know, you're taking it all the way down to the end degree of the example, which is fair, but. I think it stands from the fact that there are billions of them, and we name them, as Hashem says, I give names to them, and you will be as numerous of them, and I will give you each a name also. Saying that I don't say there's just, you know. Someone once said after the tsunami, they just happened to have been speaking. Rav was here from Eretz Yisrael, and he happened to be speaking during that time, and he was saying, you know, you hear in the news reports these numbing numbers. You know, they say another, why did you get to over 100,000, right? There's another 10,000 bodies were found today.
Right.
So he's like, really? Is it exactly 10,000? 10,000? Of course not. It was actually 10,321. But, whatever, 10,000. Another 321 families were just destroyed. There were another 321 mourning sets of mothers and fathers and children. Like, how can you just, like, do away with them? It's because we get numb, and you know, we don't deal with, when we get to large numbers, we don't deal with the individual. Even though if there was just one individual, if it was 10,001, that's a tragedy. But we can't. So the bracha is, there are billions of stars, and I'm going to give each and every one a name. Despite that, I won't just say, well, yeah, there are billions. No.
Where do we see that? I'm going to start.
So that's the pasuk. You say it in Sukkot Dezimra every morning. Monem is par lakochavim. You count the numbers of the stars. V'chulam shemos yikra. To each one you give a number, a name. And it's from that pasuk in Tehillim that Chazal, that's the medrash we started with, connects Klal Yisrael being given names in the same way you'll be as numerous as the stars, but you'll have a name. There's no such thing. Hashem will say, when you're doing the right thing, I give you names. If you're not, you'll be like sand. But there's a bracha to be like the stars, that despite the fact that you have billions, you'll still have that individual name.
So why, with all the counting, are they all rounded numbers?
You mean on the tribes in the Midbar as they go through?
Yeah.
That
not
wrong.
Exact.
They are. It is.
They're all like the hundreds. They're all next to even rounded numbers.
They are. I wonder. I don't know whether or not it would actually. It's hard to say that it actually worked out that way.
Yeah, but even so.
Even so, it sounds like the count was rounded off at least to the, was it tens or hundreds?
Probably did trade between tribes. You know, there are a couple left.
They
added ages and said, okay, you're now
fuzzy math.
That's the origin of fuzzy math. I don't know, it's an interesting question, because Ramban has a whole piece discussing how the counting at the beginning of the 40 years was exactly the same number as the counting at the end of the 40 years. And I'll think about how it basically stayed the same, even though there was 40 years and lots of people being dying and being born. But I don't know that he addresses that specific question.
Could you consider the 40 years in the desert a gullus of sorts?
Certainly, it seems that way. In other words, it wasn't a gullus of being kicked out from somewhere, but it was a gullus of being withheld from going in. So it's not listed in Chazal as a gullus.
Correct.
But it does.
It also wasn't a shiur. You weren't under
right. So you had that, but there wasn't Nevuah. Moshe wasn't spoken to over the course of the 40 years. Moshe is spoken to at the end, after the last, there's a 38 year period where they're still dealing with the ramifications of the Chataim, of the Meraglim, and of the Echet HaEgel. So this 38 year period, and when you read in the Parsha of the Week, you're going through the Kriyas HaTorah, so it's that, you know, we cover 38 years in two psukim. So it doesn't note, but there's like a 38 year gap where they were just sort of wandering around, and they didn't have that sense of Moshe being in direct contact.
So what was Moshe doing?
He was teaching the Torah to college. He had the Torah, but it took a long time to teach it to everybody.
So they were literally wandering around the desert.
Yeah.
Right, but the point is that it was like a gullus, so similar to like we're going down into gullus now, and then it switched over from everyone having a name to everyone. It's funny, the name for the Parsha, where everyone is referred to as something else, like Nafish, maybe it's Levi.
Right.
So same thing, like going into a gullus of the desert, also being counted as numbers, not necessarily as individuals.
Right. Well, the second counting was more according to the names of their tribes and their families. If you look at the two tribes, the countings are different. One is just the numbers, and then one is each by the family names of the tribes. It's more personal counting.
So my answer doesn't work for Pentecost. It works for the beginning.
Right. All right, let's have a Marif.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.